Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Faye Clark. Good morning!
Good morning!
Breaking new ground. I don't like this. I like to have something to hold, so you'll probably see lots of this now because I've got nothing to hold here. My security blanket's gone. So, it's alright, don't worry. In that first worship song, I love that. Joy to the world. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love this time of year where we can just embrace all genres of music. And I love that. But one of the lines in there said that we would prepare our hearts. So just right now, prepare your heart to receive something of Jesus. Right now, just take a second. Rita bought in the prayer meeting this morning to make room. So just before we bring the word, let's just make room for Jesus this morning. Jesus, we make room for you.
Yeah.
Come and invade our lives. Come and change our minds. Come and change our hearts. Come and change our lives today. Jesus, we make room for you right now. Amen. Well, we've had Mary from Pastor Lynn and we've had Joseph from Steve. Today, we've got Jesus. We already had Jesus, but we're just going to unpick Jesus a little bit. You'll be glad to know there's nothing about conception or lack of conception or anything like that. We shan't be talking about anything other than Jesus. Just thought I'd clear that up. So we've been looking at the Christmas story over the last 3 weeks, and we've looked at Mary and how the angel appeared to her and it was a now moment. And we looked at Joseph on Tuesday and how God spoke to him and it was a now moment for him to be obedient. And today we're going to look at Jesus, and specifically looking at Jesus being the greatest gift of all. And I don't know about you, but I'm on countdown. I've just got to get through another week without killing any children, any small children that are very excited about Christmas and presents and poking presents under the tree and bows are falling off and papers ripping and I'm having to rewrap them. But it's fine because there's only 7 more sleeps. So we've nearly made it with 1 week to go to celebrate the most important birthday of all. And Hazel's as well. But that's the birthday of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And it's a great celebration because it's the day we get to celebrate the start of our salvation journey. Because without him, we wouldn't be here today. Without him, we wouldn't have the fullness of relationship with Father God. And it's an amazing time to just take a step back and reflect really about what Christmas is all about. The presents are great. The turkey dinner is going to be amazing because I'm at my mum and dad's and they make the best Christmas dinner ever. But it's just so important for us to just take that step back and remember the reason, the cliche, the reason for the season. But without cliches, the most important thing about Christmas is Jesus. And I don't know about you, but for the past few months, we've been spending a lot of time, I'm sure, deciding on that list. Now, I don't know whether you are like me, but I have my 2016 Christmas list, and I now have my 2017 Christmas list, so that I can ensure I don't buy the same gift this year as I bought last year. This is very important. Did I buy that for that person last year? I definitely can't buy it again, else they're going to have a whole heap of candles. But, you know, we spent lots of time scouring shops and catalogues and dot-coms, and thank you, Jesus, for dot-com. Yeah. I don't know what my parents did when I was young and there was, believe it or not, no dot-com available.
What? Argos catalogues.
There was Argos catalogues and shops. But I, for one, am a very busy lady. And I, for one, am very happy that we have a dot-com available to do my dot-com shop. And, you know, I've been going through my list and I've had an issue this year because normally our child has a whole heap of things that he would like for Christmas. So I was like, have you written your letter? What do you want for Christmas? Oh, I've got everything. I want surprises. Now, I don't know about you, but I was the sort of child that wanted surprises. Oh, yes. Every year, We would write my letter, and every year on my letter to Father Christmas, it would say, I just want surprises. Really, I didn't care what I had on Christmas Day. I just wanted the excitement of the surprise. So my heart actually this year has gone out to my parents, because every year I would be the child that wanted surprises. And this year, well, guess what goes around comes around? We got surprises. So we went out and bought our surprises. Then we wrote the letter. And on there, surprises and. And the one thing that we have not bought. But it's fine, because .com saved Christmas. But we've all been looking for that perfect gift. Why? So on Christmas morning, when the people that we love and the people that we care about and the people that we cherish, and we give them a gift and we see their face, there's just something about that, isn't there? When you give somebody a gift and you know it's what they want and you know it's what they need, and they open it and their face lights up, that's something money can't buy, isn't it? There's something in that heart of generosity that inside me goes, yes, I've done it. Whoop, whoop, best gift ever. And you know what? That's what God did. He went, whoop, whoop, best gift ever. That award goes to me, the Father, because I've sent Jesus, the Son, to be the best gift that you could ever need. And how do we know that? Well, that amazing scripture that Pastor Lynn brought this morning, John 3:16. I've actually put it in the Message version, which is brilliant. It says this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad you've been, how bad it is. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Awesome. And this Christmas, my heart is that we will understand afresh that in giving his Son, God gave us, you and me, the most perfect Christmas gift. And I say this because his gift of Jesus meets all the requirements of a perfect gift. There's three requirements that I think that a perfect gift should have, and I'm going to share them with you. So first of all, the perfect gift must be personal. There's no point in me buying a dress for Steve because he's not going to wear it. Not very personal. I can assure you. Definitely not. In other words, it's aimed at a specific person. And I mean, you know, when we love someone, we don't just want to buy them anything. We don't just go to the shop and think, well, I don't just go to the shop. I can't speak for my husband. I go, oh, yes, that will do. I haven't got time to shop. No, we think for it. We search for it. We look on all different websites for it. We get ideas because we know the people that we're buying for and we want it to be personal to them. Otherwise, really, it's just a waste, isn't it? Every year, I ask people for ideas on what they might want because I don't like to give money. I'm just a bit funny like that. I like to give them a gift because I find that money and vouchers is not very personal. Now, that's just my preference. And I think a gift is personal. And as I said, with Ty this year, we've got surprises. I did say to him, you might have a surprise, might have nothing if you don't give somebody some idea of what you want. But it is difficult, isn't it, when people say I want surprises? Because, you know, now we're in that situation of, how is this going to go? Christmas Day, it's going to go one way or another. We're going to have a very happy child or somebody that's very disappointed. Now, I like to think that I know him well enough to know that he's going to love what we've got because we've made it personal and we know him. We know what he likes. We know what he likes to do. And you know what? God, the Father, knows you just in that same intimate, personal way. And he knows what you need and the gift he wants to give. He made it personal with Jesus. Luke 2:11 says that he proclaimed, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you." The glorious news of Christmas and the birth of a Saviour. Just like that first Christmas, Jesus came for you. It was personal. He came for you and he came for me. That very first Christmas when Jesus was born, it wasn't just for then, it was for now. And it wasn't just for me, it was for you. And again, in the parable that Jesus tells about the shepherd that went after the lost sheep, he left the 99 and went after the one. And that says to me that Father God would have sent Jesus even if it was just me, because it was personal, because he loves me like that and he loves you like that. And for each of us, we're precious to him. And Max Lucado, he writes this: "If God had a calendar, your birthday would be circled. If he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, he would have carved your name in the bark. And we know that he has a tattoo. And we know what it says. And we know where it's written." And Isaiah 49, 15 and 16 says this: "Can a mother forget the infant at her breast? Walk away from the baby she bore? For even if mothers forget, I'd never forget you, ever. Look, I've written your names on the back of my hands," in case you're wondering where that tattoo was. It's not on his ankle or his thigh. It's right on the back of his hands, your name. Lynn, Sam, Steve, Lee, Hazel, all on the back of Jesus's hands. And I always say to my husband, because he's got a lot of tattoos, and we have discussions often about another one, and I'm like, you know, once it's there, you can't really get rid of it. And what's it going to look like when you're 70 and your skin's a bit more saggy? I'm like, you know, I like this like flesh colour, you know. But Jesus, our names are tattooed, just like Steve's tattoos, forever. And one day Steve won't be here for people to see his tattoos. But our names are forever tattooed on Jesus' hands. Nothing we do or say can rub that tattoo out, because a tattoo is permanent. And God says, "I have written your name on my hand." The gift of Jesus as a gift that is personal. Here's my second point of what a gift should be. So the second thing that a perfect gift should be is it should meet a specific need. And now, I don't know about you, but I'm counting on Stephen. Pajamas and makeup and underwear and socks and nice things like that, because they are essentials, and what best time to buy them than Christmas? Hint, hint. There's lots of other nice things I'd like a diamond ring, a nice eternity ring would be nice, and a nice diamond necklace, but that's, you know, it's not practical. But it does meet a need. Or maybe it meets a want. I'm not sure. But in sending Jesus into the world, God was meeting our needs. He knew what we needed, even as sinners far off. He knew that we needed Jesus in order to reconcile us back to the Father. So Jesus was a specific gift. It met a specific need. And Matthew 1 verse 21 says this: "She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15 this: "Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Paul never forgot that. And I found this poem whilst I was preparing today. And very wisely, the author is unknown, but I think they're a very wise person. And it expresses the truth of our need, and it says this. If our greatest need was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need is for forgiveness, God sent us a saviour. When God gave us his son, he did it with our deepest need in mind. And this scripture in Romans 3:23 says as much. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So the gift of Jesus makes a perfect gift because it meets a specific need. And my third point for a specific, amazing, wonderful gift, the perfect gift, is that it must be sacrificial. And I don't know about you, but we don't very often go to a .com, a catalogue, a store, and they go, oh, yes, that's fine. £150, you don't have to pay today. It's free. No, it costs something. We go to work, don't we? We earn our money and we pay for our gifts. It costs something. To really convey love to the receiver, a gift must cost the giver something. The more it costs doesn't mean the more financially. Let's get that right. Doesn't mean the more expensive it is, because you can buy the perfect gift and it doesn't have to cost you the earth. But it costs you something. And when I was growing up, we had this book here. And I used to love this tradition of Advent. And every Advent, we would get our Advent calendars out. And on the fire would be our Advent candle, which would get lit mostly. I think on like day 24, we had to burn from 24 to from 14 to 24. We had like a mass burn up. But this was the focal point. And I loved this. For me, this is what Advent was all about. And even now, looking back, this is the thing that I remember. And so in this book, Follow the Star, is 24 stories. And then every evening, we would always open our Advent calendar in the evening. We didn't open it before school because you couldn't have chocolate before school. That's if you were lucky enough to have a chocolate Advent calendar. We did eventually get one of those. The other ones were great, though, because... I'm going to dig myself a hole. Stop. The picture Advent calendars were great because they actually told the story of Advent and Jesus, and they were for a specific need to give us a reflection on what the reason for Advent was all about. Thank you. And I had a great foundation in that, and I'm grateful for that. But when the chocolate ones came out and we were eventually allowed one, that was like amazing too. I think actually when the chocolate ones came out, we might have had one of each. So we still got the focal point of Advent, but we got the treat of a chocolate. Anyway, you weren't allowed the chocolate in the morning. Let's get back to where I was, otherwise I'm going to...
Vegetable.
Yeah. It's like that 50-50 bread. You think you're having white bread, but really it's really good for you. Anyway, we used to have this story in the evening, and we'd sit down as a family and we'd light the Advent candle and we would open our Advent calendar. And there was two specific stories in here that I really loved, and I'm going to share one of them with you today. And this story here is about the sacrifice of a gift. I'm going to read it to you because it's great. Is everybody sitting comfortably? Yeah. The candle's not lit. I'm going to begin. And this story is called, it was Pastor Lynn's favourite as well, hasten to add. It's called Heart's Desire. Inside the Indian trading store, Chiwi saw her mother stroke a beautiful, soft, woolen shawl. It was dark blue on one side and glowing red on the other. With a fringe of the two same colours, Chiwi saw the look of longing in her mother's eyes. My mother will buy this beautiful shawl. She asked her mum, will you buy it? No, little one. This day the pottery I have made must be traded for food only. But this will keep you warm, cried Chiwi. The wind is cold. Mama, you need this shawl. We will not speak of it any more, my daughter, she said. Chiwi stood looking down at the bright coloured shawl. In her heart, a fierce little voice said, my mother shall have that shawl. It was made just for her. Now, the shawl cost $6, and there were few ways for a little Indian girl of that time to earn so much money. Yet over and over again, she imagined putting the wonderful shawl around the shoulders of her mother. When they next went to the trading post, Chiwi, with trembling fingers, thrust a pink shell necklace into the hands of the man who ran the store. It was her most precious possession. I know this is not enough, but could you, oh, could you please keep this shawl for me? She pleaded. It's for my mother. I will pay more the next time. The expression in the eyes of the trader softened and a faraway look appeared in his eyes and he said tenderly, if she lived, my daughter would have been about your age. Yes, I will keep the shawl for you, little girl of the Mesa, until you bring the rest of the money. Over the following months, it was very busy. She could hardly wait for the next trading day to come and her eyes shone with pride when she handed the trader a great jar of wild honey. She did not tell him of the many days of hard labour that she had in gathering it or in the painful lumps on her arm that told of the angry sting bees. There was a look she could not understand in the eyes of the trader. I hope you won't mind, but the bright coloured shawl is gone. But I have other beautiful shawls, little girl, he said. She could not speak. Words would not come. Her eyes filled with tears as she ran from the store. She slumped sadly in the wagon while her mother finished her purchases. All the way home in the bumpy old wagon, there was a storm of anger and grief in her heart. It cannot be true, she thought. People cannot be so thoughtless and cruel. When they arrived home, her mother called her to help unload the parcels. Ah, and here's one that the trader said that you had bought. With what could you have bought it, daughter? She did not wait to answer. She tore open the paper of the parcel. It was the shawl. Excuse me, a bit emotional there. That wonderful shawl for her mother. I'm not going to read anymore. Not sure I can hold it together. But it was the love for her mother that had pushed her to pursue that heart's desire, that precious gift that she knew she needed. But the sacrifice in the saving, the sacrifice in the bees, and the look on her mother's face. And that trader that could have just completely ignored everything that she said, but he could see and he knew from his own experience with his own daughter that he didn't have any more this little girl's heart. The little girl loved her mom so much, appreciated her, and wanted her mom to know how much she had loved her through the gift that she had given. And the good news for us is that when God gave his only son Jesus that very first Christmas, that is what he wanted us to see. When God gave Jesus that very first Christmas, he wanted you to see how much he loved you by sending the biggest sacrifice. He broke the record when it came to sacrificial giving. No one else ever paid more for a gift than God did. When he gave his only son. The gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus is the perfect gift for you and for me. Because it's sacrificial. The Father gave everything he had for you and for me. And the Christmas story is far more than just a lovely story that happened in the past. The Christmas story is a turning point in my life and yours. When we see it like that, we begin to understand at Christmas, God is announcing to the world that here is a gift that is gonna change your life. The gift of Jesus changes our future, and as a result, it impacts our lives today. God is generous. He is loving. He is caring. He takes time. He sees what we need and is still willing today to give us the gift of Jesus. It wasn't a one-time offer. It wasn't a 50% off today and miss out. It was, I'm sending my son for Jesus today. And every day. You don't just miss out because you haven't bought it in a now moment. Today and this Christmas time, let us remember why we celebrate Christmas. Why we enjoy and remember the baby in the manger. Let's remember the real call on that baby's life. Cute baby, huh? We're going to have a cute baby soon. We've got a cute baby here. Babies are gorgeous, aren't they? But even as a baby in the manger, Jesus had a call on his life. This Christmas, let us look at the reflection of the innocence of a baby and remember the call of Jesus. The call on that child's life when he was born to Mary and Joseph. He came that we might live. And to live a life of fullness in the Father. He came for the forgiveness of my sins and your sins. He came as a baby so that we would know just how much the Father loves us. And you know when you've been growing a baby. And you get to meet that baby for the first time. There is a love none like it. You don't know that baby. You don't know what that baby's going to become. But there's a love inside a mother and a father. And I believe that with Mary and Joseph. They looked into the eyes of Jesus and fell in love with him. And we can look into the eyes of Jesus and we can fall in love with him. We can look into the eyes of that baby, and as that baby looks back at us, we can know that that baby came for the fullness of life eternal. He came in obedience to the Father so that he could be the one that reconciled us back to God. I don't know if you know Jesus today, but as we approach Christmas, there's an opportunity to receive the greatest gift of all this Christmas. There's an opportunity to receive Jesus into our hearts and into our lives. And he's waiting for you to respond to the invitation to come. I don't know if you do know Jesus, and maybe you've not been walking that closely with him. But this Christmas time is waiting for you to go, I'm coming back. And he's there with his arms open wide going, welcome home, son. And I don't know if you're walking with Jesus, but you need to make room for him this Christmas in the busyness of life. Honestly, this week, I've been like, I've just got to get through this week. And then I've just got to get through next week. I've got a present list. I've got a food list. I've got a Christmas Eve food list. I've got a Christmas Day food list. I've got a Boxing Day food list and a New Year's Day. And every time I go shopping, I'm ticking something else off. I've got boxes of, honestly, my house, I was like, oh, Lord. I either need a bigger house or we just, you know. I cannot stand it anymore. I'm like, the mess. I'm grumpy. My husband is so loyal. He's so amazing. I've been grumpy. And I'm like, I've just got to make it through. And while I was preparing this, that small voice, still small voice of calm, was like, really? All of that just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. This is what it should be about, the joy of Christmas, enjoying his presence, not the presents. The presents are nice, but it's about enjoying the presence of the Father. And so this Christmas, I invite you to make room for Jesus. Make room for him at your table. Make room for him in your family time. Make room for him on his birthday. You might have unsaved friends and family come into your house on Christmas Day. Make room for Jesus, even with them there. Because they're then going to have the opportunity to meet with the greatest gift of all. And that's Jesus. If you want to talk about this gift of Jesus, then please don't leave here today without speaking to me, or there's Steve, or there's Pastor Lynn, anybody that's been at the front today. If you want to chat to us about how do I make more room, I know Jesus, but I'm really struggling to make room for him right now. We can help you. But more importantly, we can just invite him to come and take his place. This Christmas time, I invite you to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, and that's Jesus. Amen.